Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello there, and welcome along to the GAA Postcast with me, David Jennings. And to preview the last round of Super 8 action, I'm joined by Paddy Hearn from our sponsors, Paddy Power, and former Meath attacking ace, Joe Sheridan. So, Paddy, it's getting to the nitty-gritty in the Football Championship, and some, well, one, possibly two All-Ireland contenders are going to be out this weekend. I suppose the key match we're going to start off with is in Salt Hill at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening, and it is the clash of Galway and Monaghan. Monaghan might need to win this for survival. Can I get some prices and handicaps, please?
Yeah, Galway are 4-6 at the minute. The draw is 13-2 and Monaghan are 7-4. Galway -2 is 6-5. The handicap draw is 17-2 and Monaghan +2 are 5-6.
Now, Joe, listeners will obviously know that you've been the founding member of the Galway Fan Club, tipped on the very first Postcast at the start of the season at 12-1 for All-Ireland honours. They're now half that price and 6-1. Do you think they can do it?
Absolutely. I really think they can. I think even this weekend, I think getting on at 6-1 for this weekend is going to be a great price. I'm on at 14-1 and hopefully they keep going. They're going to really push this weekend. They don't want to have Dublin in the semi-final. I think they're just a different animal completely this year. Everyone's saying, oh well, you know, they'll go to play Dublin in the semi-final, try and get not play them or play them in the semi-final. But I don't think that's the case. Galway focus on winning the All-Ireland. They don't care who to play. If they're just going to keep winning games, and I really fancied them this weekend. It's down in Salt Hill, and I think. Is it 6-5 -2? I think it's a great price for Galway this weekend.
Even if Kevin Walsh does decide to rest a few players?
Absolutely. I think there's players coming in there. And just for, even if you look at like Paul Conroy, broke the leg, very unfortunate, in shock, and hopefully he recovers well. And just seen a post online about him the other day, he was recovering after the surgery. But Peter Cook has come in and he's a fantastic footballer, great player. These lads who aren't playing, they want to be putting their names there for places in the semi-finals. They're looking at All-Ireland finals. You're in Salt Hill, massive crowd. Monaghan will travel, and I just think it's going to be set up for a great game. But you know, this Galway team, different animal this year, and I fancy them big time.
So in my preview of the Super 8s at the start, I tipped Galway to finish bottom of this group, but it looks like unless Monaghan win this, that they're going to finish top. But I am a little bit surprised at the betting in this, I have to say. I thought to be much closer together, given that Monaghan have that little bit more to play for than Galway do, although Galway won't want to play Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final. I suppose, first of all, where has the money been going in the last 5 or 6 days?
Well, the money at the start was that everyone was kind of going in for the draw, because the draw is going to suit both teams. Like, they're kind of, people are kind of saying you have this kind of a Serie SC kind of an agreement where the draw goes off 1-7 and nobody kicks a ball for the full 70 minutes or 90 minutes in soccer. The draw's been popular enough. The rest of the money would have been going for Monaghan. Like, we've been top price Galway since we priced it up. It's a little bit unfair, I think, on Galway. If you think about it, like, they've beaten Kerry, who are second favourites, clear second favourites for the All-Ireland. They've gone down to Newbridge in a pretty grueling game, and they've had, you know, they have their 4 points on the board. You would think that was enough, that they would just be happy enough to actually rest players, which they very much might do for this game. But they're taking a really big chance if they rest players for this, because everybody is kind of saying, well, you know, it's better off get Dublin in the semi-final, all this kind of stuff. But, like, there's still a good chance, we'll say, if they beat Monaghan and Kerry beat Kildare down in Killarney, which they're expected to do, Dublin then have a semi-final against Kerry. Now, they probably will beat Kerry, but Kerry are still going to be kind of 11-4, 3-1 shots. So there's still a 20% chance that they won't have to meet Dublin at all. They've already beaten Kerry. So, like, this kind of nonsense in my view of, oh well, let's just draw the match and let's just go and we're in the semi-final anyway, and if we beat Dublin, we beat Dublin. Like, what you really want to be doing at this stage of the year is avoiding Dublin if at all you can possible, and then, as Mayo kind of proved in the last couple of years, if you want to catch them in the final, catch them in the final. Kevin Walsh has come out this week and he said that he is going to drop a few players, he is going to kind of mix it up. It's very, very hard to see a price, it's very hard to fall down solidly in a price until you actually see what team he's playing, because some of those Galway guys in the forwards, especially Ian Burke, Comer, Shane Walsh, are so vital to the progress of the team that they're going to be very, very different than if you don't see, we'll say, Eamon Brannigan, Sean Kelly, who are really, really hard workers and really good footballers, but they aren't. In a scoring sense, they're not exactly what make Galway tick. So I think Galway are probably worth taking on here. We're top price at 4-6. It wouldn't surprise me later on in the week if we actually got closer two even money there again, because if you think about the league, Gawler beat them in the league, but Monaghan had them properly rattled. One of the only teams in the league to actually properly rattle them at that stage before Fintan Kelly got sent off. People will say Galway are good at getting some fellas sent off in the last couple of weeks, but I expect a very, very close battle. Like, I don't think it's going to be a great game, but it's going to be tight ones, no question.
Okay, so moving on to the player markets then, a selection for first goal scorer and man of the match.
Yeah, I looked at it against Kildare and it came up, no goal scorer, 11-2, I think it's a great price. Monaghan are going to be very tight at the back, Galway are going to be very tight at the back. I think it's going to be sort of... I don't think they're going to give away too much at the back, and I think 11-2 for no goal scorer, I think, is a great price.
And man of the match?
I'd be looking at Damien Comer. If the refs decide to give him a few frees and give him a bit of look after him and give him a bit of protection, I think...
They used to look after you?
Never. Us big lads, we get no protection at all. So I hope the refs start seeing it, because he's a fantastic player, and Kevin Walsh came out during the week and said it as well. If he can get a bit of protection, I think he's... Ryan Whitey's not playing great at full back either. Full back line for Monaghan is there to be taken, and I think Damien Coleman could have a great day.
Yeah, first goal scorer, I just mentioned we're actually getting sent off, but I think he does get in scoring positions, and I think what you kind of find against Galway is they are defensively tight, so you kind of have runners coming through, and I think Fintan Kelly could be a decent price for a first goal scorer. Like, we're 22-1, I think that's probably, I don't know how many firms have priced it up, but that's probably top price in a minute. I wouldn't put anyone off that for a small few quid. For man of the match, if it is going to be as tight as I'm thinking, I'm looking at Kyle O'Connell here, and Kyle O'Connell's having such an unbelievable season, but like, the fact, I know that Began was really good and he was integral to beating Kerry, but Conor McManus was just so good that day.
I'm in the goalkeepers union as a goalkeeper, right? It was an utter disgrace that Conor McManus did not get man of the match. A disgrace.
Totally, yeah. Everything he did touched the goal. Like, in fairness, they played completely into his hand. I'd say he didn't know his luck after a couple of minutes where he found himself isolated, kind of within 30 yards to goal, for 40 yards. Like, this is his bread and butter. But Jesus, he made hay. He absolutely adored it.
And I'm going to be controversial here. Rory Began's main job is to stop goals going in, and a goal cost them qualifying for the All-Ireland semi-final. A tight angle, a brilliant finish, but a tight angle. And he didn't cover himself in glory on the angles, I thought. And man of the match should have went to Conor McManus.
Yeah, it was a brilliant finish as well. And if you think about Began too, I mean, like, fair enough, he landed a couple of them missiles, and like, he is unbelievable at doing that. But he still missed three, if not four, on the day, and that was coming down to the winning of the match as well. When it's 117 apiece, like, I just thought everything McManus did was perfect and brilliant on the day. Just before, when I was waiting for you to finish the racing podcast, because I know you like to go on a bit, you know that kind of, I was just looking at the Don Fowle Twitter page. He was talking about the forwards in Ireland and how many kind of what guys give to the team in a scoring sense, and Conor McManus is no question top of the country. I think he's been a part of 32% of their scores throughout the whole championship, which is clear out in its own. He's probably close to the best footballer in the country at the minute, and if he plays well, I'd say Monaghan are going to go close to winning, and he should be in the mix for man of the match anyway.
So that is 6 o'clock at Pier Stadium in Salt Hill on Saturday evening, Galway v Monaghan. At the same time, down in Fitzgerald Stadium, Kerry host Kildare, and judging by betting on this, it's going to be very, very one-sided, Paddy Ahern.
You would have to think it's going to be very one-sided. The prices are Kerry are 1-12, the draw 16-1, Kildare 15-2, Kerry -8 is even money, the handicap draw is 11-1, Kerry +8 is 10-11.
Joe, looks like it's going to be all one-way traffic, given that one team has something to play for and the other doesn't.
Yeah, and that's the problem in the Super 8s. You know, these teams out of the Championship, Roscommon saying going up to play Dublin, like, it's tough for Kildare, 2 weeks out of the Championship, having to go down, probably didn't train last week, they'll get together this weekend, but the pressure's off Kildare, so they probably will put up to them for the first 20 minutes, first half maybe. But I can see Kerry, if they really have any sort of notions for going forward and to compete for the All-Ireland, they should be rushing into this at the first 15-20 minutes, having the game over, and I can see Kerry, you know, driving it on, and they just really need to pull themselves together. They just they can't turn it on. Years gone by, they have turned it on, but they just don't seem to be able to click it in. You know, only for Clifford, obviously, last weekend. He's been fantastic all year. I can see him first goal scorer this weekend again. If he pushes on, I think he's at 6-1 or 11-2. I think he's a great shout for first goal scorer as well. And a good bet for this game, I think, is Kerry first point. Kerry always win the hot ball, go down, and I can see them driving on. You'll know from the very first very first minute if the heads are in the game. And I can see it. I think it's 5-4. Kerry to score the first point from play. It's a good bet.
Yeah, interesting shout there. You've obviously been studying the throw-ins.
Big time, absolutely. You know, David Moran, he's a massive man. And they work it so well. And if they can do that with Jack Barry at midfield as well, the two of them are big men. I know with Gallaire, they have Feeney in that, but they literally every single hot ball, they will win it. So, and they usually bring Starr out as well either. If he's going to start, he'll go midfield as well. So they usually win possession from midfield.
And I think everybody should plough into the Kerry minus 8 at evens. And I think you'll see that line become 10, 11, 12 in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's not going to take much money to do that. And it's going to be, like, what's really going to come here is the... whatever team is going to be named on Friday night or whatever, like it's very, very hard. You know, we'll be looking for a massive, I'd imagine on Saturday evening we're going to be looking for a big favour off Kildare. We're going to be looking for a lot of pride, and we're going to be looking for, you know, a performance from them to keep it tight. But like, to me it's a lot for to ask for when the carrot of an All-Ireland semi-final is dangling in front of one of them, and back to club matches in 3 weeks is probably the one for the other one. Like, it's just, it looks like it could be one-way traffic.
Okay. As we don't know teams or anything, it's probably pointless going for our first goal scorer and man of the match market. So we're going to move on to Sunday and the other group in the Super 8s. It is Donegal v Tyrone in the clash of the weekend. It is Ballybuffet, 3:30 on Sunday. Some prices and handicaps, please, Paddy.
Donegal are 11-10. The draw is 15-2. Tyrone are even money. Donegal plus 1-4-5. The handicap draw is 8-1, and Tyrone minus 1 is 5-4.
Who do you fancy in this one, Joe?
It's the betting obviously says it's going to be very tight. Donegal, they're going to be down men. Owen Barron is going to be a massive loss. I don't think he's going to play with the shoulder injury or the elbow injury. You know, they're under pressure with a few lads missing. I can see Tyrone winning. I know they're up in Ballybuffet. They haven't lost a game. I think they've lost one game in 3 or 4 years, which is fantastic. And we played there before, and it's going to be tough for Tyrone. But Tyrone, you were shouting about them at the beginning of the year. They're coming good. Their players are coming good. The lads that were injured at the beginning of the year, I really fancy them Tyrone to turn Donegal over here. And I think, are they even money to win the game? You know, that's a massive price. I think that's a great price for Tyrone. Straight up, even money. I think it's one of the bets of the weekend.
Okay, one of the bets of the weekend. Even money Tyrone for Joe Sheridan. I strongly fancy Tyrone, and I think you strongly fancy Donegal.
I just think the prices are interesting that's around on Donegal. If this was in a neutral venue, I would think Tyrone would be favourites. I would have thought it was similar enough to last year. And fair enough, like, Tyrone overran Donegal last year. But we laid a hell of a lot of Donegal for that match. It just didn't come together on the day. Donegal are a much, much better team.
Didn't come together on the day. It was annihilation.
Completely, yeah. Absolutely, totally hammered. I think this is a different Donegal team. I think there's a little bit more of an injection of pace. One ball Gallagher now is going to be a loss. But I think in Ballybuffet, the prices that are kind of coming out of the game they're bigger than what they should be. Like, I can see this. I just think this is a straight down the middle 50-50 game. I wouldn't really disagree with anyone who fancies Tyrone, and I wouldn't disagree with anyone who fancies Donegal. Like, I think it is going to be very tight. It's, you know, this is exactly what, for the opposite sense of what I was saying, this is exactly what you do want when you're talking about Super 8s. This is why they brought it in, because you're basically having a complete down the middle straight shootout to see who gets to an All-Ireland semi-final through two Ulster rivals, except it's a home and away clash. Like, I think it'll be a tight game, but I don't think it'll necessarily be that low scoring. I don't think either team actually has that in them.
Oh, I agree.
Like, in compared to, you know, even last year when Donegal were kind of Rory Gallagher defensive mode, it still got a little bit out of control. I think this kind of notion that these Ulster teams are defensive and all that kind of stuff, I think that's losing its appeal every week we see all of them play. Like, I can see there being a lot of scores in this, and I can see them being a lot of goals in this as well.
So with that in mind, and I certainly think so, I think over 33.5 points, over 16.5 Tyrone points, over 33.5 total points, 5-6. Over 16.5 Tyrone points is 4-5. Tyrone are even money with Paddy Power. You can back Tyrone minus 1 at 5-4 with Paddy Power. That's the way I'd be thinking. I'm going Tyrone all the way. And first goal scorer and man of the match selections, I'll go first here. And given that I think Tyrone are going to win the game, I'm going to chance Cathal McShane for first goal scorer at 14-1. I think he's just coming into a bit of form. And in the man of the match market, obviously I always tip Niall Sutton for this, but I do think that Donegal will come up with a plan just to curb his influence and run him from deep. I think they might just have him mastered. So I thought Richie Donnelly was very good last time, so I'm going to go for Richie Donnelly at 16-1. Your thoughts on first goal scoring man of the match?
Yeah, Conor McAlesky is playing very well. He's going well inside. I can see him going. Is it goal scorer? I think he's 13-2, 7-1. I can see him and our man Matty Donnelly. He's really coming into form. The amount of touches he had. The amount of touches he has in all the games, he sets up a lot of play, doesn't score as much as he has been over the last couple of years, but he's just the main man. He orchestrates the whole thing from centre forward, wing forward, wherever he plays. And I think Matty Donnelly, I think he's 10-1, 11-1.
14-1 for man of the match.
Yeah, I think he's a great price for man of the match.
For first goal scorer, I liked a big one. I thought Frank Burns at 33-1. He's going to run from deep, especially in that Meath game. I don't know how he didn't score two goals. But yeah, he definitely has a chance, and he's a scorer as well. He scored a point in nearly every game, I think, they played this year. He does get in goal scoring chances, so 33-1 is definitely worth a half a point in him. I would also look at man of the match. I think Jamie Brennan's going to get more space than he's been kind of used to in the last couple of games. Michael Murphy is probably going to get a little bit more attention if he plays closer to goal like he did in Rangers Common, and this is going to free up space for this guy, and I'm a huge fan of this fella, so around 14-1 for man of the match.
You're a defending member of the Jamie Brennan fan club. That is Paddy O'Hearn from our sponsors, Paddy Power. Now moving on to Crow Park, 3:30 Sunday. It is Crow Park, isn't it?
It is Crow Park. I don't know how it is, but it is.
Yeah, Crow Park, 3:00 on Sunday, Dublin v Roscommon. Another example of dead rubber here, and this is proper dead rubber. 1-50 Dublin, 11-1 Roscommon. The handicap at the moment is 12, and probably will be surpassed.
Yeah, another one which you're going, if the handicap does move, it's only going to go one way. Roscommon are managerless for this after Kevin McStay getting his ban. Again, I'm going to be looking around for fellas in the beer, because that's exactly what I'd be doing if I was in their situation. Rather than go up to Croke Park for a game that probably has 10,000 people at it, that no one cares, that you're sticking the hurling down to Thurles.
Will you give me over 10,000 in the attendance? 5-6 over 10,000.
I'll give you an even score for sure.
Okay. Grant. You're being serious here?
I don't know. I can't see anyone going. Like, why would anyone go to it? Like,
yeah, but to be over 10,000 people at the bloody game.
There might be over 10,000. There might.
Well, you've just laid a score of 5-6.
Yeah, fair enough. It might be a score down, but look, I don't think it's that far off. I think
I haven't backed the winner at Galway all week, and that is the best bet I will ever do. I'm after backing a 1-200 shot at 5-6.
It will be completely and utterly desolate, though. There'll be echoes all around the place. And if anyone has any sense, they'll be in the premium watching the hurling anyway. Like, people in Clare and Galway can't get tickets for this hurling match because this game is on in Croke Park. How the hell this game isn't in Parnell Park, where you can get people into it? You have maybe a little bit of, you know, decent... You've a little bit of a decent crowd. You might have some atmosphere in Parnell Park. The Dubs can turn around in 3 years and go, which we played a Super 8 game in Parnell Park. We don't play every game in Croke Park. You're using Croke Park. You're absolutely wasting it. Dublin are going to win by about 18. It's a waste of time.
How much do you see Dublin winning by?
Yeah, I think they can beat it. The only frustrating thing with Dublin, I can't stand the way they're going. 10, 15 minutes, hand passing over and back to pitch. And I love the way Dublin have played and they sort of have progressed over the last couple of years. But this crack, 10, 15 minutes, just keep possession. It's so bad for supporters. And I pity fellas are trying to cover handicaps with them because they'd frustrate the life here. But it's just not a nice way to watch them playing football. Kieran Kilkenny over and back takes 15 steps, and fair enough, if he gets away with it, let him at it, but it's not a good look. I can see them like Roscommon. I think it could be up on 20 points.
Okay, so you'd be strong on the 10-11 with Paddy Power, Dublin -12.
Yeah, and I actually think 16 points or more, 9-5 is a good price. I like Roscommon, they've nothing to play for. Literally, they have to come up to Dublin on Sunday. Boys, their heads aren't going to be in it. You know, and I can't see Kevin McStay. I know he said he'll try and play it out, but that's the problem with the Super 8s. You know, there's obviously going to have to tweak a few things with these games towards the end, the last rounds. Like, it's making no sense, so they'll have to look into that. But, you know, I can see this could be a cricket score.
A cricket score for Dublin against Roscommon in the fourth and final clash in the Super 8s this weekend. So, Joe Sheridan, your best bet of the weekend is?
The best bet of the weekend is Galway -2. At 6-5 this weekend, I think it's a no-brainer. They're just coming to another level. I've been shouting about them all year. And another bet I really fancy before this weekend, Sean Andy, the cornerback for Galway, 7-2 for an All-Star. I think after this weekend, if his last two games, he's been fantastic. I can see them getting to an All-Ireland final. You've Johnny Cooper himself and whoever else is going to be in there. But I think him at 7-2 for an All-Star, I think get on before this game at the weekend. I think it's a great shout.
He may be from Meath, but he is a closet Galway fan. Joe Sheridan fancies Galway to win the All-Ireland. And he's even tipping their players now to win All-Stars. Joe Sheridan, who would have thought it? The biggest Galway fan in Ireland. So there we go. That's the four clashes in the Super 8's football this weekend. Join us after the break where we'll be joined by hurling aficionado Aidan Taggy Fogarty.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to part two of our GAA postcast, where I'm joined by Aidan Taggy Fogarty and Paddy Ahern from our sponsors, Paddy Power. And we have got a treat in store, a treat that we didn't think we were going to get. It is the All-Ireland Hurling semi-final replay. It's Thurles, 2 o'clock Sunday, Galway v Clare. What an epic, epic, epic encounter we had last weekend, Paddy.
Just as a weekend as a whole. Still not able to talk about it. It was too good. I managed to get myself to both games, and Jesus, it was something else now. Unbelievable. Didn't really enjoy the one as a Galway supporter on Saturday. It was kind of hard to enjoy it because I just had flashbacks of 2016 against Tip, where we were just going to lose the game by a point with fellas going down, a cramp all over the place. But yeah, we were kind of, obviously we'd a lot of chances to win it, and then there's an argument after Shanahan's goal. We were kind of lucky to get out of it as well. So between that and Sunday, Jesus, some weekend of hurling. I don't know if we're going to surpass it now, like in the next coming years or whatever, because to get two draws like that, two draws, by the way, which we lost our absolute, we did our absolute brains. On
the did anybody do the double?
See, I'm not really sure, but there was definitely some people who did the double, but the double wouldn't have been like, you know, you're getting 130-1 the double on kind of Saturday afternoon. And judging by the multiple bets that were going on to the draw on Sunday, then plenty of people did it. Yeah, we got cleaned out.
Aidan, I suppose, first of all, your thoughts on the drawn encounter. It was an epic encounter. Have we blown it up too much, or was it one of the greatest games you've ever seen?
In fairness, at the start of the game, the Galway Clare game, it probably started off pretty intense. It looked as if Galway was going to put away, and the end of that there was a year. But in fairness, the Clare, the minute he switches, turned the game around, and it came into an epic encounter. To be fair, you know, it was heart and sleeve stuff. It was a great scoring. It was mistakes being made. It was high intensity. In fairness, it had everything, and the whole weekend had everything. And I suppose, Legion, to be fair, the whole championship as a whole has been crazy. Like, there was 29 championship games, with 6 draws, 2 games won by a pint, 4 games won by 4 pints. So we were trying to predict things here on this podcast.
God, you have your research done.
Yeah, I surely do, but it's crazy, you know, and it's been brilliant, and it's been brilliant for the neutral as well.
And Paddy, the prices this weekend for the replay, I have to say I'm very surprised to see Galway as short as 4-7 given the injuries, and Clare as big as 7-4. For the neutrals out there who watched last weekend's game, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people mad to get stuck into the 7-4 Clare.
Yeah, I'd imagine there will. The prices straight after the game, like, it was very, very hard to price it. It was very hard to really land.
That's your job though.
It is. And you're kind of looking around, and you're ringing hospitals to make sure the people aren't in getting cruciate and knee ligament surgery and all this kind of stuff. But the word that's coming out is that Canning is going to be okay. Canning's going to be okay. It looks like Adrian too. He's going to be fine. Conor Whelan came off as well. That was precaution. So the main one that Galway are worried about is Gerard McInerney, who's a huge player. But I would say McInerney is going to find it very, very difficult to get there. They're talking about a calf tear, which is, there's no way he's going to be back in 8 days. And he is a loss, there's no question about that. He's probably the only proper number six, I would say, that Galway have. You're going to move Padraig Mannion into centre-back, I would say, and then maybe Paul Killian might come in, or Sean Loftus is going to come in, but you're definitely losing a little bit, because in the position that Mannion is playing in, he's been lording it all year. He's been playing very, very well. McInerney is just a rock in the middle. He's the spine of that defence. Galway are going to be they're definitely depleted with him not playing, but at the same time, Thurles, I think for so long it was a graveyard of Galway defeats. It's actually playing into their hands now. Their last couple of performances there have been really impressive. They are tactically, I just thought they got it really, really wrong last week. Like, they have played against Sweeper before. They played against the Sweeper against Waterford last year, against Wexford twice this year. But it was almost like they just weren't expecting it when Colin Galvin went back. They were aimless. They were pretty wasteful Jonathan Glynn really kind of bailed them out, to be fair, because towards that,
what a beast of a man,
man, like towards the end, at the end of that second half and in extra time, the tactic was just high ball anywhere near his vicinity, and there was basically nothing else, and he was exceptional. He was absolutely unbelievable. He nearly won the game on his own. He's turned into, like, he was always a big player for Galway, but he was a massive, massive force there last week.
Looking at last week's game and looking ahead to obviously the replay, thinking about the injuries that Galway have picked up and thinking of how well Clare did to come back, 4-7 Galway, 7-4 Clare, is there too much of a gap there?
I think they had unbelievable resilience to get a draw, Galway, and they had more chances to finish out the game and didn't take him. Like, I don't know who was looking over his shoulder, and he had Joseph Cooney up on the bench. He had Conor Whelan on the bench. He had Dahi Burke on the bench. He had Joe Canning on the bench. And they still got over the line and still got a draw. And, you know, Johnny Cohen had a chance to win the game. He struck it off his right-hand side into the goalie's hand. Flynn had a chance of a free. David Glenn reminded me, actually, 2012, a very suspect free. A bit of a dive again, but he got it. And if there's Joe Canning on the field, he probably would have put it over the bar to win it. Lynn just drove it wide, probably not on the field long enough. And for them reasons, I think Galway are in a better position. And they'll probably learn from the game as well. You know, they probably weren't expecting Galway to go back as a sweeper. And it kind of upset them. And it is hard during the game, if a switch is made like that and we weren't expecting it, it is hard to turn the thing around and get to grips with it. Even though I was surprised at Galway that they didn't, because, to be fair, last year, all talk about the sweep system and Wexford and how to deal with it, and they dealt with it very well. So I just feel Galway have a bit more to learn, be a bit more disappointed, and the players themselves will be a bit more kind of disappointed in their own performance, and they want to make amends for it.
So if Galway are to win this game, what do they have to do?
Well, look, I think first of all, it depends what way Clare set up. If Clare set up as a sweeper system, they're going to have to nullify Galvin as a sweeper. That's the first thing they have to do. The second thing they have to do, I think, is from a forward perspective of maybe Conor Whelan, Joseph Cooney and Cathal Mannion. I know he scored 4 points the last day, but they need a little bit more out of these guys. And they need to be closing down the space a little bit quicker. They did it for the first 15 minutes, Sarah sixes and sevens, and they nullified Tui's puckouts. They were going astray and they were winning ball. I think they got 4 points off it from their own puckouts. And they need to keep the tempo up. Galway get ahead by 6 or 7 points. They drop down the tempo. They allow teams back into it. They need to keep their foot on their necks and put them to the sword for a full 70 minutes. Because if they allow Clare back into the game, that's the way Clare have been playing. If they get a sniff of it at all, they'll come back, the crowd will get behind them, and they'll get on top. So them 3 points, I think Galway have to work on big time.
And does Semple Stadium make any difference, do you think?
I don't think so. I've played in Semple Stadium, I've played in Croke Park. Look, I think Croke Park suits Clare better. I think they have a better result there over the years. I think they play kind of an expansive game, a running game, which would suit them better. But like, Clare have won big matches in Semple Stadium as well. And to be fair, actually, only for this year, Galway struggled in Semple Stadium over the years. Now, apart from this year and last year, but they're obviously a better team. So I think that factor, I heard John Lachnan on the radio about you know, that the softness of the ground, and it's more of a kind of a tennis ground on Croke Park. But I don't believe that. I think both grounds are going to suit both teams. You know, the Croke Park is a bigger, possibly would have suited Clare a little bit better.
I'm sensing a bit of confidence here. This is as confident as you've been all year, I think.
Well, I have. It's just like confidence. It's hard to tell these games. It really is. I should be McInerney if he's going to be out. It's going to be so close. And it depends on momentum. It depends on injuries. It depends how they're going to recover this week. Depends mentally how they're going to be up for it. But I just feel there's more in Galway. I think they're going to be more disappointed. I think there's going to be a few home truths told during the week in the dressing room, and I think they're going to be well up for it. And they could do without this game, Galway, if they're going to get to an All-Ireland final. It's like as if they're going to get there and they're going to fall the last hurdle. That's me, what the gut telling me at the minute. But I just feel they're a better team than Clare if they play to their full potential.
Yeah, that's it really. Sometimes we analyse things and tactics and positions and who's going to be marking who and who's going to be doing what. But is this a simple case of Galway just simply being a better team than Clare right now?
Yeah, look, I think so. And a more experienced team. Now, all these matches could catch up in Galway as well, but like, we're trying to analyse these games and we're trying to go into tactics, as you said, and like, how could you analyse 2 games the weekend? There were so many mistakes, there were so many matchups. Like, the matchup of the weekend was obviously Dahi Burke and Conlon, and Dahi Burke got up in the first half, Conlon got on top in the second half, and like there's guys just moving left, right, and centre. So is there anyone marking anybody? You know, the Galway six backs tend to kind of mark pace and sit back, whereas clear guys tend to go with their men. So like you can analyse games to the death, but I just think that Galway are a better team. They have more things to work on, and they're a bit more experienced than this clear team.
So Galway minus two at 10-11 with Paddy Power for Aidan Fogarty. And before we come on to your first goal scorer and man of the match predictions, you did say a thing there that I caught up on, and I'm sure listeners did too, that you think they're going to fall at the final hurdle. So do you think then that Limerick are going to be the 2018 All-Ireland champions?
Well, like, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about trying to predict things in this championship is crazy. Like, I literally said Galway last week, but look at that Limerick. They're in a fabulous position. Like, they have 3 weeks now to prepare for this All-Ireland final. Like, their bench is just unbelievable. They have the best 30 players in the country, in Ireland. Galway's bench has found out just a small bit. You know, they have game changers in Shane Dowling, in Casey and Ryan, and they're just on a crest of a wave. The way Kylie is talking after the game, playing it down, Shane Dowling saying, look, let us prepare for the All-Ireland as players and the supporters. You can enjoy it, but just stay away from ourselves and let us do our own build-up. And I think that little bit of experience maybe of 2007 of the All-Ireland with Shane Dowling, he'll tell the guys there to, you know, keep grounded. And they just seem like it. And they're a nice team, they're a likeable team, and they're a good brand of hurling, and they can mix it both ways. Like, they're in a great position. It'll depend, of course, on this weekend, how Galway perform. It'll be a great All-Ireland, I think, either way. But it's like as if Galway, the replay against Kilkenny in the Leinster final, you know, picking up a few knocks, a replay again this weekend, is it all going to catch up with them on the big day if they get there?
Okie doke. So there is Aidan Fogarty's thoughts on the All-Ireland Hurling Championship, which has turned into a more interesting affair than we're expecting, I suppose you could say. And some prices at the moment, 6-5, Galway, Limerick are 5-4, and Clare are 4-1. But that could all change at about 3:30 on Sunday afternoon. So Aidan, the final thing is your man of the match and first goal scorer predictions.
Yeah, it's a forward game. It seems to be every forward seems to be getting man of the match these days. So I'm going to go for Cottle Mannion for man of the match at 12-1. He scored 4 points the last day. Probably needs to up his work rate a small bit, but he's the type of player that loves the big day and can turn it on in a light switch. My first goal score, I think it's going to be a low scoring game for goals. You know, it's only 2 goals scored the last day. Clare only got one chance of it, and fairness, Aaron Center, he stuck it. And for Galway, like we discussed this before, DJ, about Galway. Like, are they a real goal threat? You know, Cottle Mannion had a chance of a goal and could have finished off that game early in the first half.
Absolutely.
His touch just let him down, and that's the killer instinct I'm talking about. You know, if he scored that was game over, but his touch let him down, and he had to go out and put it over the bar. And then after Conor Cooney, he was the only guy that got other chances. So goal scoring wise, I think it could be very small scoring. I think Tony Kelly at 11-1 is a good option. I think Clare's full forward line, they're not clicking that well, and the way Clare play the game and the way they score goals all year is maybe a guy coming from deep, you know, maybe a Conlon winning a ball and throwing off a hand pass, and you know, Tony Kelly is brilliant at getting forward, and you could throw a hand pass to Tony Kelly and he could pot it there. So Tony Kelly at 11-1 is not a bad option at all. There's another one there, I thought, just total match goals. Just one goal in the game at 13-2.
And Paddy, the prices this weekend for the replay, I have to say I'm very surprised to see Galway as short as 4-7, given the injuries, and Clare as big as 7-4. For the neutrals out there who watched last weekend's game, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people mad to get stuck into the 7-4 Clare.
Yeah, I'd imagine there will. And the prices straight after the game, like, it was very, very hard to price it. It was very hard to really land.
That's your job, though.
It is. And you're kind of looking around and you're ringing hospitals to make sure that people aren't in getting cruciate and knee ligament surgery and all this kind of stuff. But the word that's coming out is that Canning is going to be okay. Canning's going to be okay. It looks like Adrian too, he's going to be fine. Conor Whelan came off as well. That was precaution. So the main one that Galway are worried about is Gerard McInerney, who's a huge player. But I would say McInerney is going to find it very, very difficult to get there. They're talking about a calf tear, which there's no way he's going to be back in 8 days. And he is a loss, there's no question about that. He's probably the only proper number six, I would say, that Galway have. You're going to move Paurig Mannion into centre-back, I would say. And then maybe Paul Killian might come in or Sean Loftus is going to come in, but you're definitely losing a little bit because in the position that Mannion is playing in, he's been lording it all year. He's been playing very, very well. McInerney is just a rock in the middle. He's the spine of that defence. Galway are going to be they're definitely depleted with him not playing, but at the same time, Thurles, I think for so long it was a graveyard of Galway defeats. It's actually playing into their hands now. Their last couple of performances there have been really impressive. They are tactically, I just thought they got it really, really wrong last week. Like, they have played against Sweeper before. They played against the Sweeper against Waterford last year, against Wexford twice this year, but it was almost like they just weren't expecting it when Colin Galvin went back. They were aimless, they were pretty wasteful. Jonathan Glynn really kind of bailed them out, to be fair, because towards that,
what a beast of a man,
man, like towards the end, at the end of that second half and in extra time, the tactic was just high ball anywhere near his vicinity, and there was basically nothing else, and he was exceptional. He was absolutely unbelievable. He nearly won the game on his own. He's turned into, like, he was always a big player for Galway, but he was a massive, massive force there last week. I think they'll learn more slightly than Clare did after the first game, and I think Clare are very, very dangerous. Like, if you can see the bench they're bringing on, Ian Galvin was bringing when he came on, and Shanahar was something that none of us saw. I think, I mean, I didn't even know he was back in the panel, and he was brilliant when he came on too. I think Galway will edge it, but
is this your heart ruling your head, or putting your native land to one side? Yeah, who do you fancy?
Well, I fancy Galway now. So basically, my clincher was Canning. I didn't think we'd be able to win the game without Canning, just because of what he offers from frees. He's worth 4 points to Galway easy. Canning, from everything I've heard down here and everything that's coming out, Canning is going to be okay. He's going to play. If Canning plays, Galway will win.
By how much?
If he plays, I think they'll win by 3.
And your selections for first goal scorer and man of the match?
First goal scorer, I think I'll just go with Glynn, because he hand-passed that last one off to Flynn, and some people were kind of roaring him to just put his head down and go himself. He can prove he did that against Kilkenny. He'll get himself a chance. I go with Jonathan Glynn for first goal. He's 8-1 there at the minute. And I think I have one for man of the match. Cathal Mannion, whatever it is about the place, seems to absolutely adore playing in Thurles. In 2015, he went down against Cork. He scored 6 points from play. Somehow he didn't get man of the match that day because Glynn got 1-2. But he went out a couple of weeks ago against Kilkenny in the replay down in Thurles, scored 7 points. Whatever it is about the place, he's able to roam, he's able to get space, and he's super accurate there. So I think man of the match, Cathal Mannion's a great shout.
So that's it for this week's GA postcast. My thanks to Aidan Taggy Fogarty, Joe Sheridan and Paddy Hearn from our sponsors Paddy Power. Don't forget to join us next weekend, where we'll be previewing the first of the All-Ireland football semi-finals.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.